is gentle, faithful, swift, passionate, blind, and wondrous. All these are faces of love. In a moment, young Kate Wakefield, venturing into today's world of confusing freedoms, brought to you by Ban Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant. Did you know that a 1.5-ounce bottle of Ban Roll-On antiperspirant costs about the same, yet lasts longer than most 5 or 6-ounce sprays? Listen to this. Averaging 2 seconds of spray per application each side each day, the longest lasting of the leading antiperspirant sprays gives you 37 days of protection. On the average, Ban Roll-On will give you 51 days. That's 38% longer. And tests have shown that Ban Roll-On will help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Ban Roll-On, so economical yet so effective.
Hi, I'm the teacher, and that's Roland Gibbs on drums. He drew my picture last week with gray hair. Me, with 11 grays. I gave hair coloring a second thought. I found out about Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It has no peroxide, doesn't change my natural color, and it's good for my hair. Loving Care covered my grays and made my hair softer and shinier. Gotta give the kid credit.
Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It's good for your hair.
Bellhaven Dispatch. Faye Bixler speaking. Oh, hi, yes. David's right here. Just a minute. Dave, it's Isabel for you.
Okay. Hello, Isabel. What can I do for you? Chop wood, string cranberries? Oh, you bet I'm coming to your Thanksgiving dinner. No, Henry's out. I don't know whether he'll be back before closing time.
Sure, I'll tell him. Yeah,
bye-bye. Boy, you think that Thanksgiving dinner was the biggest thing since Bunker Hill.
Well, maybe it is to her.
That's a twist. Are we understanding Isabel this week?
Not this week or the next. I don't get her. I just don't dig her.
You have to take Isabel as she zooms past.
You know what she did?
What now?
Well, it's crazy. She invited me to that Thanksgiving dinner she was giving.
Hey, that's nice. I'll pick you up.
I haven't said I'd go yet.
Oh, you'll go. I'll see to it.
She put me out of her house once. That time I was trying to do a story on Tom Wakefield when they were going to name that conservancy after him.
Well, maybe she should have. You were off base, right? Nobody wanted Tom's story dug up in this town.
Well, why would she turn around now and invite me?
Because she doesn't hold grudges and because she's a lonely woman who's trying to surround herself with friends. She's like everybody else. She wants to be loved.
She said the craziest thing. She said I'd make the table perfect. Me.
Stop analyzing people, Faye. It just boxes you in. She's invited you, you're going.
That's settled?
Settled. And no change in your mind. Nobody's going to let her down.
You're pretty strong-minded about this.
Yep, because Kate may not be there.
Are you two still here?
We love our work, Chief.
David, I want to talk to you a minute. Faye, go on home.
Sure. When I finish the news story. Well,
doesn't that girl have any private life?
No, she does. She keeps it a secret. Isabel called you.
Well, I thought she would. I'm not quite ready to talk to her again.
Again?
I had lunch with her. She told me Kate's on her way up to Maine.
Yep, with a friend named Trudy who has a Norwegian grandfather in the woods.
How do you know?
Isabel.
Isabel doesn't believe it. Neither do I.
Now, wait a minute. If Kate said she was going with Trudy, she's going.
I know that. Kate just didn't tell the whole story. I think she's going to stop up at Gull Island.
Well, why shouldn't she? She and Tom like that place.
But now, Thanksgiving time, and at a point in her life when she's trying to break away from everything?
You take a guess.
I don't have to. I believe she's gone up there for a reason.
Like what?
To find out something about Tom, his past life.
Well, she ought to leave that alone.
Maybe she can't.
Hey, Henry, aren't you tired of talking to me in riddles?
Very. I made a promise once, and I'm trying to keep it. But it gets hard.
Don't forget, I am a friend of the family.
That's why I'm asking you to do something for me.
What?
Would you consider taking a couple of days off and going up to Gull Island? I believe the little town is called Seaport.
What, you mean now, with Kate up there?
Yes.
And do what?
Well, just be with her.
You've got to be kidding.
I feel better, dear.
You would? How would Kate feel?
I don't think that's important.
Well, it is to me. She'd throw a lobster pot at me.
This is no joke, David.
You're damn right. Henry, the trouble with you is you don't like the way the world is going today, so you ignore it. Now, girls today don't want friends running after them trying to protect them.
She shouldn't be up there alone.
She's not alone. She has Trudy with her.
Another girl.
Another. Don't let woman's lib hear that. Is there anybody up there she knows?
Well, there's a family in the village. They keep a key to the cottage.
And I walk in uninvited and say, Kate, little girl, what are you doing?
In my day, a man wouldn't let two young women go up to a place like that unescorted.
That's what I mean. I tell you what I'll do, Henry. Give me the name of that family.
If I have it.
If you do, I'll call up. Wish everybody in the state of Maine happy Thanksgiving and ask how Kate is if she's there, okay?
David, I think I'm getting to be a foolish old man. I knew Tom Wakefield all his life. I loved him for what he might have been. I want the other side of his life forgotten.
Uncle Thaddeus, can I ask you something?
Don't ask for money.
It's this cold, Unc.
Nephew, you need four-way nasal spray.
Will it help?
Used as directed, four-way provides the fastest decongestant relief possible for stuffy noses and sinuses.
Unc, that's a blast. Is it expensive?
Bah, four-way costs a darn sight less than the leading brand. You can't buy faster relief at any price.
I'm going to get some four-way.
Maybe you've got a nose for business after all.
I sweep my floor and I still hear sugar underfoot. I hate that straw broom.
That's the kind of dirt straw brooms miss. But an Oseeder angler broom would get it. Angler bristles are cut on an angle to keep more tips on the floor, and the tips are closer together. Oseeder Angler gets the dirt other brooms miss.
Oseeder makes your life easier.
What do you hear from your floor?
Not a sound. Oseeder makes your life easier.
Well, we're almost there, Trudy. Only a mile beyond that boatyard.
When did we see your island?
Around the point, from the cove at Seaport.
How far off the shore is it?
Half a mile. So you'll see it if this fog doesn't get too heavy.
Oh, it's sure coming in.
Oh, it does when the weather's mild like this.
Oh?
Tom and I used to love the island when the fog rolled in. We'd be completely shut in. All you'd hear in the fog was that horn from the channel lighthouse. There it is now, you heard?
Ooh, it's shivery. I don't know much about the sea.
We had an old stone fireplace in the cottage. Tom would build a big fire out of driftwood. The world would just disappear.
Oh, you were happy up there, weren't you?
Yeah. Those were the best times.
Kate, why don't you forget all the rest?
I might have if Stephen Wolfe hadn't showed up.
Why do you suppose he waited 3 years before he came to you with this story?
For a very simple reason. He was in prison for bribery and perjury.
Well, how can you really believe a man like that?
Oh, Trudy, I haven't really told you the whole story.
Oh?
Stephen Wolfe got Tom out without serious charges after Tom's horrible automobile accident when the girl was killed.
Oh, no.
After that, he somehow got close to Tom, apparently. Tom told him everything. That he was involved in a drug ring in the Caribbean. That he had hidden some of it away. He even turned over to Stephen a string of wooden beads that belonged to me.
Huh?
Oh, I must have been so innocent in those days. All I cared about was to see Tom well and happy. Instead...
Take your time, Kate. Don't accept everything that man said.
Now that I'm here with Gull Island right out there in the mist, I can't. But when I think of that recording of Tom's voice that Wolf gave me... Trudy, I'm afraid.
Whatever Tom did, you had no part of it.
But I want to be able to prove it. Now, if there's any evidence at all against Tom or me, it's out on Gull Island. Oh, Trudy, there's that same old gas station. I wonder if Eddie's still there. Oh, come on, let's stop.
Kate, while you're getting gas, I'm going to call Grandpop. I've looked at the map. Feather Lake is only 58 miles from here. I don't want to surprise him.
I got to find Eddie.
By golly, if it isn't Miss Kate.
Hello, Eddie. Oh, I hoped you'd still be here.
Well, you're a sight for the eyes. Put her up.
Please.
I ain't seen you for a long spell.
No.
No, I haven't been back.
Tom was a nice fella. Are you staying here?
Oh, just for a day or two. I'm going out to Gull Island.
What for?
I want to see it again. See how the cottage is.
All right, I reckon.
I'm sure it is. I just want to see it.
Wouldn't do that if I were you.
Why not?
Bad time of year to go out.
Oh, Eddie, Tom and I used to come up here in the winter. Weather never stopped us.
Well, there you are. Cash or credit?
I have the money right here, Eddie. Nothing's happened to the cottage.
Not as far as I know.
Well, then why?
Tain't no business of mine, I reckon. Thank you, ma'am.
Oh, my, glad I called, Kate.
Why, your grandfather's all right.
A woman answered. I knew right away something was wrong. Grandpop's nearly 90. He had a fall. And now he has the flu or something.
Oh, Trudy, you've got to go on up and see him now. Take the car.
And leave you? Well, where would you stay?
With the Wheelers. They keep the key to the cottage. Tom and I used to stay often waiting for the weather to clear.
Well, I don't know,
Trudy,
Kate.
You must go.
Oh, that foghorn gives me the creeps.
I love it. Oh, Trudy, now that I'm here, I want to be out on that island for a little while. Alone.
Faces of Love has been brought to you by Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
The Author's Studio presents the radio dramatization of William Makepeace Thackeray's classic novel, Vanity Fair, the story of the clever and charming adventuress, Becky Sharp. In a moment, our author, Mr. Thackeray. The Author's Studio is brought to you by Final Net, the non-aerosol hair mist that holds up longer than you do.
Julie, I haven't had dinner for years.
Mom, you're doing fine.
Oh, poor kid.
5 minutes, Claude.
Let's sit down. We're meeting your father for dinner. How do I look?
You always look pretty.
Thanks, sweetheart.
Especially your hair. Mom, the class is starting.
Oh.
Even when you can't hold up any longer, your hair can with Final Net. Final Net is not an aerosol. There's no wasteful propellant. It's concentrated to hold your hair all day. Final Net holds up longer than you do.
If I had a nickel for every minute I've spent in a dirty oven, scraping and scrubbing, I'd be living in Fort Knox.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Oh, come on.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night. And while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
Really?
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
Well, Mr. Muscle really sounds like a good man to wake up to.
Ladies, gentlemen, William Makepeace Thackeray and I welcome you to this day's chapter of my novel, Vanity Fair. Ah, what a pleasure to be ill, petted, pampered, waited upon, worried over. When Miss Crawley arrived at her snug, well-appointed house in Park Lane, she was taken out of the carriage by various domestics, directed by Miss Sharp, conveyed upstairs forthwith, and put tenderly into her bed, quickly heated with a warming pan. Messengers hurried off for apothecary and physician. They came, examined, consulted, prescribed, and vanished. Miss Sharp administered medicines the eminent men ordered. A note was dispatched, as we know, to dear Rawdon, asking, commanding him to call. And there he stands at the front door now. Before he can clang knocker or pull bell...
I watched through the window. I saw you come. No one's about. Kiss me.
Here? Now?
Oh, why else did I come to London? Quick, before anyone is about.
My angel.
Oh. Mm. Oh, oh, oh. Oh, no more, my darling. We can't talk now, or kiss now, or anything now. Only after your aunt is asleep. I must run back upstairs. She wants me with her every moment. Dearest, how I adore the music box you sent me. Now go outside. Wait a bit. Come in again.
What?
All must be in order. Wait till I'm upstairs. Ring the bell, then come up. Be sure to show surprise at seeing me. We will be very polite. Finally, she'll sleep. We'll be together. Now go.
Wait. What if she says she wants me to meet Lady Blessington?
Oh, you know what we planned.
I'm to say we quarreled?
Her bell, you see? Yes, you've quarreled. Make Lady Blessington sound believable, my love.
How?
You hope to make it up with her, but your heart is broken. She's been unfaithful to you.
She has?
I must go up. You must go out.
Kiss me or I shan't.
Oh, my sweet imbecile. Go.
I'm gone.
High time is short. What did I bring you to London for but to be here when I want you? Where have you been?
I thought you were napping. I went down to see about your hot chocolate.
Oh. Now, where is Warden? Why isn't he here? Would you not think he'd hurry to his poor auntie?
I don't understand why he hasn't. That must be Captain Rawdon.
Run down and fetch him, dear.
Oh, do let Firkin answer the door, Miss Crawley. I hate to leave you.
That's very pretty. But I fear you simply don't wish to see Rawdon.
No. I feel quite friendly toward him. Truly, I do.
I do hope so, child. He'll be here a great deal while Sir Neil.
Aunt Matilda.
Come in, come in. Dear boy.
Dear Auntie. Miss Sharp, you here?
Yes, Captain Crawley. Good evening.
Auntie, what a thing. Are you ill like this?
Dreadfully ill and numbed with travelling.
At Queen's Crawley, you were so well.
Oh, that wretched place made me ill.
And at the dinner party, you entertained everyone.
Oh, did I? I knew seeing you would make me feel better.
Then you shall see me a great deal.
Oh, dear, dear boy. But I do have a splendid nurse, Rebecca.
She is your nurse?
Indeed, she is. Now, tell me, are you quite restored now that you're near Lady Blessington?
No.
No?
Auntie, we have quarreled. I hope to make it up.
Oh, my poor dear boy.
She has been unfaithful to me.
Unfaithful? Dear, dear fancy. How dare she be unfaithful to you?
I don't know.
With someone of your station or of the lower classes?
Farnsworth Fairborn.
Of who, pray, is that?
A chap just here from India.
How did you learn this terrible thing?
Auntie, it pains me to talk of it.
But I would like to hear all, dear.
Please, another time.
Very well. We shall talk of Rebecca's young man. Becky, dear, what is his name? I cannot seem to fix it in my mind.
Very nice, dear listeners, very. Well, let us have a cup of hot chocolate ourselves and return. It would appear Lady Blessington has been disposed of without too much bloodletting. That blackguard Farnsworth Fairborn has stolen her quite away. And now, once more, I shall remind all listeners that Becky's love, Gordy, does not exist. He is a convenient inconvenience to blind Miss Crawley to the fact that Rawdon and Becky's hearts are entwined. But, oh, thin ice.
His name is Gordy, Miss Crawley.
Oh, Gordy, yes. And his last name, dear?
Kiner. And he is what in His Majesty's service? A private?
Oh, yes. Now, Rawdon, do you know Private Gordon Kiner?
No, he doesn't, Miss Crawley.
But how can you know that?
I asked Gordy in a letter if he knew Captain Crawley.
I don't know him.
But you could.
Could?
I wish to meet him. Since he's not a commissioned officer like you, Rebecca says he can't come and go as he pleases.
No, can't. Difficult, very.
But you can arrange permission for him to come here.
Not sure if I can.
Of course you can. You've told me you can do such things.
Of course he can.
Of course I can.
Well, that's settled then. Rebecca has whatever his name is. Has he answered the note you sent last night?
Not yet.
Gracious, I hope he is not unfaithful.
Oh, my darling God, he would not do such a despicable thing.
I'm sure he'd not, Miss Becky.
Rawdon, dear, how could you know?
He was only being polite, Miss Crawley.
Of course, oh, dear boy. I hope you're as thoughtful and gallant as Becky's young man. I doubt you are. Lady Isabel might not have been faithless had you sent her as charming a gift as Gordy sent Rebecca.
Music box. No, didn't think of it, Auntie.
But how did you know he sent a music box? Your nephew is most clever, Miss Crawley. He's seen me twice reach over and touch it with much affection.
Right, did see.
Ah, you are clever. Now do play it for us, Becky.
It wants winding first.
Rawdon, how could you know to the music box? It looks like it is a jewel box.
Oh.
Why, he's seen many a one like it, I'm sure.
By Jove, have. Yes. Lady Frobisher Frump has one very like. Played it for me. Shop in Mayfair. Saw one. Heard it. Very pretty tune.
Jackson, listen to my pretty tune.
A very pretty tune.
Ah, green sleeve. You said you wished to make it up with Lady Isabel. Send her a music box, do.
May not. Broke my heart, she did. I'm not sure I want to make it up.
Why did you stop it, Rebecca?
Dear Miss Crawley, I am your nurse, and think only of what is best for you. You've had a long, hard journey, and you must sleep. I'm sure the captain will come tomorrow and every day. Is that not so, sir?
Right. Will. Stay too long this time. Back tomorrow, Auntie. Word of honor.
Oh, how good you both are. Oh, I am tired. Yes, very tired. I do think tomorrow.
Asleep, is she?
Yes, well, I hope so. Captain Crawley, for your auntie's sake, we must be friends. Are you willing to try?
I'll try, Miss Sharp.
Then let us go into the sitting room and try.
Thin ice. So far, Becky skates over it gracefully, rescuing Rawdon each time he very nearly falls in. In tomorrow's chapter, they plan how to introduce Gordy. Until then, I am your servant, William Makepeace Thackeray.
Has been brought to you by Mr. Muscle, the oven cleaner that works the easy overnight way. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse. It's not nice to eavesdrop, but it's fun. So let's check in on the comedy of errors at the Baxters. On the little things in life, brought to you by Four-Way Nasal Spray, gives you the fastest decongestant relief possible.
In my house, we've got a fully automatic kitchen. Me. And the worst job I've got to do is scrape and scrub that dirty oven.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Promises, promises.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night, and while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
That's a good idea.
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
You know, I've got a feeling that Mr. Muscle's going to be a good man to wake up to.
Hi, I'm Sandy Wright. In 1966, I was in a Miss Clairol commercial. Then it was, does she or doesn't she? Today, she still does. I love my hair. After 9 years, yes, 9 years of using Miss Clairol cream formula, it's in great condition. Terrific body, easy to manage, and if I have any gray, who knows?
Miss Clairol Cream Formula. It's the hair color professionals use. The best it can be, at any price. Look for Miss Clairol to know you're the best you can be.
Aunt Maggie, can you think of anything else to put on the grocery list? I'm going shopping tomorrow.
I thought we were going to house clean. Well, I can clean house while you shop.
I'm going early. Maybe you'd like to ride along. Then we can do the house cleaning when we get back.
Has he said anything?
Oh, Bob? About what?
Well, tomorrow.
What about tomorrow?
Oh, now, don't look so innocent.
I don't know what you're talking about, Aunt Maggie.
Oh,
no,
come
I
on.
Don't. I don't know what you're talking about at all.
Oh.
Well, I think somebody I know is having a birthday. Oh, no.
Yes.
Is it?
Uh-huh. There's a calendar right on the kitchen wall.
This is the first time I have forgotten my own birthday.
Well, do you think he's remembered, or shall I remind him?
Oh, no, please don't remind him. He'll feel he has to take me out to dinner, and I really and truly do not want to. There are a million things to do before the family all gets here for Thanksgiving. No, no, dear, I'll be tired from shopping and house cleaning.
Oh, no.
I just don't want
to... We have to celebrate in some way.
Oh, definitely.
I'm going to make you a birthday cake, for goodness sakes.
All right. That's sweet of you, but I'm certainly not dieting with all the pies and cakes and muffins you make.
I think one should not have to diet on one's birthday.
Well, fine. I can always use another good excuse for eating.
But if he asks you out to dinner, you go.
No, I really don't want to, Aunt Maggie. No, no, I don't. My hair's a mess. Mm. I have to wash that and then get all dressed up, and I really just don't have time, and I really don't want to. And I see celery, we need that. Oh, cranberries.
Hey, what are you two doing out here? I'm all by my lonesome in the living room.
Now, watching a football game or a hockey game or a basketball game?
No, there's nothing on.
Oh, you poor dear. Well, I'm going upstairs and see if I need shampoo. I think I do. I also want to remind Debbie to clean her room. Honestly, I get so tired of nagging about that. Debbie!
Well,
I'll talk to you.
Since I have you alone,
mm-hmm.
I think there's something I should ask you.
Well, ask away. What? Any more of those cookies left?
In the cookie jar. Have you remembered what tomorrow is?
Uh-huh, Peg's birthday.
Oh, good. I thought I'd better remind you in case you'd forgotten.
I always remember her birthday.
I remember once you didn't.
Oh, well, that was way back. We'd only been married 2 or 3 years. I didn't know her so well.
You didn't know her. You were married to her.
Well, I just meant I wasn't used to having to remember or something.
Well, were you planning anything for tomorrow? What are you smiling at?
Well, now, listen, don't spill the beans.
Well, I can certainly keep a secret.
Well, okay. I'm having a surprise party for her.
A surprise party? When?
When? Tomorrow. That's her birthday.
Oh, good heavens, a party. Does she know about it?
How could she know about it if it's going to be a surprise?
Oh, well, yes, of course. I just meant we're all so busy getting ready for all the relatives on Thanksgiving.
So? Why should this interfere?
Well, I don't know. We're just going shopping in the morning, then spend all day house cleaning. And I know she's planning to wash her hair tomorrow evening.
Oh, look, I've planned a nice surprise party.
It isn't going to be a very nice surprise if they arrive when her hair is wet, or if she's got it up in curlers.
All right, then persuade her to wash it the next day.
How do I do that?
I don't know. You'll have to think of something.
Well, I think washing one's hair is something one decides oneself. She's going to think it's very funny if I suggest she wash it Wednesday. I mean, I think it was funny if somebody told me when to wash my hair.
Well, just get her to wash it earlier tomorrow.
We'll be house cleaning all day. She won't wash it till we're through, which I suppose will be late.
Now, Aunt Maggie, I have been phoning people now for several days.
How many
days.
Have you asked?
What? Oh, I don't know. Quite a few. I didn't make a list.
Oh.
When I thought of somebody else, I just gave him a call.
Well, what are you planning to serve?
Just birthday cake and coffee, and I'll buy the birthday
cake.
You
certainly will not. I'm not going to have any store cakes. Anyhow, I told her I was making her birthday cake.
Well, maybe I better buy one also.
No.
I think I've asked quite a few people.
Want me to make 2 cakes?
No. Peg might notice, and then she'd start wondering. No, now listen. This is what I want you to do. Now, I've asked everyone for 7 o'clock.
7?
Yes. What's wrong with that?
But they expect dinner.
Why? But, I didn't say anything about dinner.
When you ask somebody to a party at 7, they'll certainly expect something to eat.
I planned birthday cake and coffee, I just told you.
They will expect more than that. At 7?
Well, you think maybe I should get some hamburgers or something?
For how many people?
I told you, I don't really know. I just called them and said it was Peg's birthday to drop in about 7 and surprise her.
No, it certainly will.
Now, look, what I want you to do is get her out of the house about 5 so I can do some decorating and all that, you know? Just put up some happy birthday signs, maybe some crepe paper streamers. It's kind of silly, but I want
to. Now, how do I get her out of the house at 5 in the afternoon? We'll have been house cleaning, and then if she washes her hair...
Look, don't you take pills for your high blood pressure?
Yes.
Well, tell her you're out of them, you just discovered it, and the doctor said you have to take them each day, that you will have to drive into town and get them before the drugstore is closed.
No.
Now, put on an act.
Well, I'm not very good at acting.
Oh, you can do it. Oh, wait a minute. No. Tell her you have an appointment to have your hair done at 5 o'clock. Call in the morning and make one when she isn't listening. Then Peg will decide to get hers done then, too. And then she won't be washing her hair, and you will both be home by 7 o'clock, and it will give me a chance to get things organized.
I don't know if I can do it.
Go upstairs now and tell her so I can get it settled and make my last-minute arrangements.
I'm not very good at that,
Jimmy. Oh, you'll be fine. Now, go on, please.
No.
And whatever you do, Aunt Maggie, don't spill the beans.
Uncle Thaddeus, can I ask you something?
Don't ask for money.
It's this cold, Unc.
Nephew, you need four-way nasal spray.
Will it help?
Use as directed, four-way provides the fastest decongestive relief possible for stuffy noses and sinuses.
Unc, that's a blast! Is it expensive?
Nah, four-way costs a darn sight less than the leading brand. You can't buy faster relief at any price.
I'm going to get some four-way.
Maybe you've got a nose for business after all.
Do you think all antiperspirants are basically the same? Well, Ban Roll-On antiperspirant may just change your mind. Take effectiveness, for instance. Tests have shown that Ban Roll-On antiperspirant will actually help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Make your own test soon. Pick up a bottle of Ban Roll-On, and you may discover what we've shown in tests. Ban Roll-On antiperspirant. Proof that not all antiperspirants are created equal.
Peg, dear, where are you?
In here. I'm going over our medicine cabinet. I have to clean this out. We've got bottles of medicine and pills for heaven knows what. I should throw these things out before we take something by mistake.
I forgot to tell you that I have a hair appointment for tomorrow afternoon at 5. You come, too. Why, wash your hair yourself.
What?
Yes. I called Charles and made the appointment the other day, and I just remembered. You don't want to wash your hair at 5 tomorrow.
Charles, cut your hair so you could wash it yourself. That was the whole point when I took you in there, Maggie. What do you mean, why not wash my hair at 5 tomorrow?
Yes, I know, but I thought, since it's your birthday tomorrow, that I'd like to look especially nice.
Oh, nonsense. I'm not worrying about my birthday. Why should you?
Well, I'd like to look especially nice on Thanksgiving, then.
What's the matter with you?
Nothing. Nothing? Why should anything be the matter?
You have a funny look on your face.
Well, it's... Oh, maybe it's my blood pressure.
Don't you feel well, Aunt Maggie?
Well, no. Yes, I do. But I mean, I really don't. Well, what I mean is, I feel all right now, but maybe I won't feel all right by tomorrow. Well, no. Well, it's just...
Sit down. You just sit down, Aunt Maggie.
All right.
You sit down. Aren't you taking your pills for your high blood pressure?
Yes.
But
I...
Sit down.
Well,
I've run
out of them.
Run out of them? Why didn't you tell me?
Well, it means a trip into town to the drugstore.
We're going shopping in the morning. We'll pick some up. No. There's a drugstore that stays open all night. We'll send Bob in right now.
No.
Aunt Maggie, don't talk. Oh. Please don't talk. You get right into your room, hon. You get undressed and you get right into bed. Go on now, right this minute. Bob!
Yes?
You've got to drive back into town tonight to that drugstore that stays open all night.
No.
Aunt Maggie's out of her high blood pressure pills. Now, come on, let me help you into your room, Aunt Maggie.
I don't need any help, and I am perfectly all right.
No, you are not. Now, let me hold your arm, will you? You know blood pressure is a very strange thing. You're probably a little dizzy, dear, without your pills,
What's
you know.
What is it?
You've got to drive back into town tonight and get Aunt Maggie's high blood pressure
pills.
Tonight?
Yes, she said she's out of them. Now, where is the empty bottle, dear? I'll go get it so I can get your prescription
No, I'll go get it. Now, don't help me up. I'm fine.
All right. You need the prescription from the doctor, too. He gave you one so you could get it refilled, Aunt Maggie.
Yes, I know.
You did? All right. I'm worried about her. She's worried about when I wash my hair. Now, you know that is a little peculiar.
She's getting along in years and...
70?
Huh?
Young these days. And she's usually lively as a cricket and doesn't miss a trick. Must be her high blood pressure, you know. Now, that drugstore on Elm Street stays open.
That's 20 miles into town and 20 miles back.
Do you want anything to happen to Aunt Maggie? Now, I'll go down and get your coat out and look for the car keys. And since you're going to a drugstore, you can get my shampoo. I'll write down everything that I want so you can be sure to get it.
Aunt Maggie.
Yes. No, here's the empty bottle. I poured out all my pills so she wouldn't see them.
Boy, you really loused this up. How come? I remember you telling us many times that you had the lead in your high school play.
Well, I wasn't very good. My mother thought I was.
That explains everything. Now, look, what are we going to do about tomorrow?
Oh, that was one of the lines in that play. And I had to say, tomorrow is another day. Well, anyhow, I didn't spill the beans, as you put it.
Wow, great. She's going to be really surprised tomorrow.
Yes, she certainly will.
Little Things in Life with Peg Lynch and Bob Dryden and Margaret Hamilton as Aunt Maggie was written by Peg Lynch, directed by Warren Somerville, associate producer Paul Feinstein, and has been brought to you by Ban Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant. I'm Charles Woods. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
To have and to hold. The story of the traditional vows, the new morality, and the people caught in the conflict between them. Brought to you by Four-Way Nasal Spray. Gives you the fastest decongestant possible.
This is what aerosol hairspray sounds like. This is what Final Net sounds like. The big difference in the way they sound is the big difference in the way they work. Final Net is not an aerosol. It's concentrated to give you a great long-lasting hold. There are no wasteful propellants. That makes it economical, too. 8 ounces of Final Net go as far as 24 ounces of aerosol hairspray. You get a great hold at a great price. Final Net, the first sensible alternative to aerosol hairspray.
As anyone knows, hair is only as beautiful as the condition it's in. Natural Wear Miss Clairol shampoo formula conditions while it colors, makes your hair healthy looking and manageable while it adds natural glowing color that covers gray. And it's so easy to use. Just shampoo it in for fresh young color that stays color true week after week. For conditioning hair color, the best it can be, at any price, Natural Wear Miss Clairol, to know you're the best you can be.
Just one more cup, Helen?
Oh, do you spoil all your guests like this?
Oh, I don't think of you as a guest. Besides, a second cup of coffee is hardly spoiling you.
Blueberry muffins, then?
Well, all right, then. But after all, you and Paul and Jason go way back. Do you know, I've been married to Jason for almost 20 years, and it's only in the last few days that I've learned something about what it was like for him in Korea.
Maybe it'd be better if you hadn't.
Because of you and Jason?
Well, yes, mainly that.
Oh, it was so very long ago, and it was before we were married, before we met.
I know, but, since you didn't know from the beginning, to find out now...
It wasn't that much of a shock, Helen. I think if I'd ever really thought about it, I'm sure I'd have assumed there was someone like you in Jason's past.
Oh, God, you make me sound like a shady lady.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean it that way.
I know. It just struck me as funny, you and me sitting here,
too civilized.
Oh, sort of.
Mm-hmm.
Things change so fast. Paul and I never really expected to see Jason again, even though we've been so close in the army. And then suddenly the explosion in Brixton, and Paul calls on Jason.
Paul always knew about you and Jason, then?
Yes, he did.
And it didn't bother him?
It was during the war, Emily.
And now?
We talked about it for the first time in, I don't know when.
Funny. Up here we all were speculating on how you all were enjoying your army reunion.
Oh, we did. Really?
Paul must feel very secure about you.
Why do you say that?
Well, you're up here. Surely if there was any doubt in his mind, you probably wouldn't be here.
Well, we should be celebrating, Angela.
It won't be Thanksgiving for a couple of days, Marge.
No, I wasn't thinking of the national holiday, more of a personal one.
And what do we have to celebrate?
Our first public appearance together in months.
Aren't you making a lot of sitting down at my table in the hospital coffee shop?
Not any more than you made of avoiding me for all that time.
Well, there was, and still is, a good reason.
Oh, come on. You act as though we'd done something to be ashamed of.
Marsh.
Well, what do you mean?
Well, if anyone heard you say that, they'd be justified in assuming the worst.
I would call it the best.
You can't ignore Ginger's suspicions, even though she's wrong.
Well, I've decided I can't go on catering to all of Ginger's fears and fantasies.
That's fine for you, but I have no intention of being an innocent bystander.
Oh, glad to hear it.
Now, you know what I mean. Look, Marsh, you know what brings us together. It's our mutual concern for Emily.
Yes, I know.
You're seeing Dr. Szabo this afternoon?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think he'll find?
If I knew that, I'd have found it myself.
Uh-oh, touchy. Tell me, did you talk to Betsy?
Oh, yes. Or at least I tried.
Well, what do you think is bothering her?
Whatever it is that bothers 16-year-old girls.
As I remember, if I can think back that far, that could be anything and everything.
Angela, I was wondering if you would talk to her.
You know, for a smart doctor, you sure pull some lulus.
Seriously, I think it's a good idea.
Now, look, you know Ginger is jealous of any friendship you and I might have. Can you imagine what she'd think if she found out I was advising her daughter?
Riley, do you think I could have transfer copies made?
If Dr. Ellis okays it.
Well, we transferred the records here from Brixton in the first place.
I know, but our procedures were...
Oh, Trish, can I help?
Mrs. Anthony wants to know...
Oh, you're Helen Anthony. Yes, I am.
Well, I'm Angela Fairchild, Emily's sister.
Oh, yes. Jason told us about you. How do you do?
Us?
Paul, my husband, and I.
Oh, yes, of course. Look, don't worry about the records on your Brixton cases. We can have them copied. I'll see it's done.
Thank you.
When are you leaving?
Well, I don't know. Why?
Well, I just thought I'd wait until the last minute, and that way you could take back the latest data when you leave.
That's a good idea. I'll let you know.
Now that all the Byrne cases have been transferred to Jefferson, you must want to get back to Brixton.
I thought I would, but... When I talked to my husband, he suggested I stay on here for a while.
Oh?
Yes. A few of the children are having emotional problems. I know their parents, so, well, I can be sort of an aunt, I guess you'd call it, for a while.
That sounds good.
And it'll help their recovery, which should please you.
But of course it would.
Well, I meant the space problem you have here at Jefferson. We've practically taken over your fourth floor.
Well, now, we expected that. As soon as we heard of the explosion at Brixton, we prepared for the burn cases.
You're very efficient.
Thank you.
I'm really impressed with Jason.
Are you?
Well, my last memory of him was a sort of skinny, hollow-eyed young surgeon operating in mud up to his ankles.
That was a long time ago.
And now, here he is, Chief of Medical Services at Jefferson.
He's worked very hard for it.
Well, in Korea, he never gave a thought about getting ahead. He just worried about the next 5 minutes.
Well, that was when he was very young.
You seem to know him pretty well, now, I mean.
Well, we didn't go through a war together.
Yes, you missed a lot.
That's the last of the tests?
Yes, and the second set of cranial plates were just taken yesterday.
I see. Well...
Victor, if you want anything done again, we can.
No, I don't think so.
How old is she?
Oh, 38. 39. No, 38.
Young.
Yes.
She's Jason Carter's wife?
Uh-huh. They have three children.
Well, she is young.
Victor, you keep saying that.
Well, chordoma doesn't usually develop until the fifth or sixth decade of life.
Chordoma?
Yes, in the occipital area. Now, let's look at the cranial plate again.
Yes.
Well, you can't see it, but there's where it is. First vertebra at the base of the skull.
Well, there's nothing on the plate. Vic, are you sure?
Yes. It's quite small now. Look, don't say anything definite to Carter yet. I want to be absolutely sure.
Yes, of course.
Are you friends?
No, and also his wife.
Tougher then.
How sure are you?
90%.
Can you operate?
Yes, but I don't recommend it.
Too many deficits.
Almost total paralysis.
Hmm. What then?
Nothing. The growth is so slow. This has been some time in developing.
Oh. Radiotherapy?
No, I don't think so. Not now, at any rate.
They'll want to know how long.
I can't say much. Sometimes it's years, and then again...
Well, what condition will she be in?
Well, pretty good. She may have some visual symptoms. She'll hyperventilate, and, she'll have to watch her balance, probably.
Mm-hmm. Personality, mood, how will the tumor affect her that way?
Well, depression as much as anything, which is normal. No, she'll have a gradual physical decline, accelerating at the end.
And the end?
A complete paralysis. But she's more likely to get an infection before that happens.
Look, do you have any suggestions on how... I mean, what I can tell Jason? See, he knows I'm seeing you right now. He'll want to know what I know.
Yes, yes. Well, look, tell him I'm taking the case file to study, and I'll see him tomorrow, all right?
I guess it'll have to be.
To Have and to Hold has been brought to you by the O'Cedar Angler Broom. It gets the dirt other brooms miss. This program has come to you from the Radio Playhouse, a DCA Productions program.